Thank you, team, for leading us. Thank you, church, for joining us in worship here today. A good and happy, chilly morning to our church family. It is good to worship together. It's good to sing together. It's good to come off a Penn State win, and hallelujah, God is alive. He is good. Amen. Christmas is upon us. God is good. Amen. The Advent season is upon us. It is truly, man, it is the most wonderful time of year, and any Grinches and Scrooges in the room, there's the door. Just see your way out at any point in the service. This is a happy place. We want to celebrate the Advent season. Welcome in the Advent season. And if you're new, and if you're maybe you're visiting with us from the Thanksgiving holiday season, we just want to say welcome. We're so glad you're here. Penn State students, welcome back. I see a handful of you. You guys are back. Welcome back. And finish strong, finish well. A couple weeks ahead of you guys. We're praying for you. We're rooting for you. And so glad to be here with you, friends. I just want to mention real quickly, by the way, my name is Dan Min, and I serve as the pastor here, one of the pastors here on staff, and it's my joy to welcome you here this morning. But I also want to quickly mention in the vision moment, there was a mention of the Christmas page. We would encourage you to visit that page. It's got lots of good information on the Christmas season. One in particular is that we've got our Christmas Eve services scheduled, and so we would love for you to join us for either one of two identical Christmas candlelight services, which will be on December 24th, no surprise there, but the times are 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., and so we would love for you and your family and loved ones to join us for either of those services. But as we lead up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and all the Christmas festivities, we enter into a season today on this Sunday that has historically been known as the Advent season, which is essentially the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And for these next four Sundays, what we want to do is we want to focus our time and our attention on a new sermon series that we're calling Behold. In fact, would you say that word with me together this morning? Behold. It's such a good Christmas word, right? I think we ought to say it again. Behold. All right. Behold. It's a good. And by the way, what about this backdrop, huh? I mean, it's just the, just so you know, the North Pole elves have been working hard this week to make this place as Christmassy as we can. And so really thankful for our staff who kind of pulled together and especially with Pastor Aiden Wirtz and with Lauren Walters and Bill Jester, they helped kind of fashion all of this together. It was not easy work. It's like, oh, one screen, easy, right? No, it actually took hours and hours to try to figure this out. So really big thanks to our staff team. But behold is the word for this season. It's a good Christmas word. Friends, I would argue this morning that behold is not just a good Christmas word, it's actually a great Christian word. In other words, I believe that disciples of Jesus ought to get well acquainted with this word behold. I would go as far as to say that followers of Jesus really ought to fall in love with this word. If you were to fall in love with any word, I don't know how many of you have that kind of relationship with word and language and linguistics, but if you were to fall in love with any word, I feel like behold, for us followers of Jesus, should be somewhere in the top three, top five list. As many of you know, I started in this new role here at State College Alliance Church called Pastor of Spiritual Formation that started this past August. And it's interesting, as I talk with people about my role, the most common question I receive is, so what does spiritual formation actually mean? Now, there's probably a dozen different ways we can define spiritual formation, but I would just simply offer this, discipleship would be a way to define spiritual formation. We talk a lot about discipleship here at SCAC. We're passionate about discipleship. We spent 3 months talking about discipleship through the lens of 1 and 2 Corinthians. We believe in discipleship. Discipleship would be synonymous with spiritual formation. Personal spiritual development or spiritual growth. If any of you are here and you say, I want to grow spiritually, we're talking the same language of spiritual formation. Sanctification would be a good theological word, doctrinal word to describe spiritual formation. But in its most simplest form, I wonder if we might think of spiritual formation as simply the process of beholding and becoming. Spiritual formation as the process of beholding and becoming. So discipleship, spiritual growth, spiritual development, sanctification, i.e. spiritual formation, I believe in some sense all truly boils down to these two words, behold and become. In fact, you may have heard it said this way before, we become what we behold. We become what we behold. In fact, if you want to get to the heart of spiritual formation, here it is. We become what we behold. I believe there's no truer statement than that. Friends, if you want to know in what ways you're being developed, in what ways you're being shaped and formed, and believe me, friends, we are all being shaped and formed right now, even now in real time as we speak. We are all being shaped and formed in some way, shape, or form. Now, many scholars would say, the question is not, are you being shaped and formed? The question is, who or what is doing the shaping? And the answer to that question, I believe, lies in that word, behold. You want to know in what ways you're being shaped and developed, maybe in ways that you don't even perceive at first glance, but we are being shaped and formed. You want to know in what ways we're being shaped, in what ways we're being developed, pay attention to what it is that you're beholding. Now, before we go any further, I think it would serve us well to clarify what we mean when we use the word behold. I don't find that to be a common word in our vernacular, in our sort of everyday language, behold, you know. In fact, we're titling this whole series on this word, behold. I think it would do us well to define this word. Let me just offer you a working definition of what we mean when we say behold. Behold is to fix our gaze. It's to lock our attention. It's to anchor our whole selves onto something or someone. That's what it means to behold. Behold, from a scriptural standpoint, is simply a call to see or to look, but it's not to see in a casual kind of way. It's not to look in a quick kind of way. Most parents are guilty of this, myself included. If you're a parent and you've been a parent any length of time, you may have been guilty of this as well. When our kids come alongside us and they ask us, Mom, Dad, look at this. Do you see this? Do you see this? Look, look, look. Do you see this? What do? We take a quick second, a glance over, and we say, yeah, I see. And then we get right back into what we were doing, right? Any guilty parent, you don't need to raise your hands. You're like, yeah, I've done that. What parent doesn't do that? Maybe you're the anomaly, and you take time to behold whatever it is that your kid is trying to get you to look and see. Mom, Dad, look at this thing that I just dug up from the ground. You know, maybe you're the parent who takes time to fix your gaze on that dirty little grimy hands, that thing that they pulled out of the ground. Maybe you're the parent that takes time to lock your attention on that weird looking Lego construction. You're not even sure what it is, but you are beholding. Friends, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about beholding. It is to see in a way that goes beyond a casual or cursory way of looking or seeing. It's a fixing of our gaze. It's a seizing of our attention onto something or someone. I'm reminded of the words of David in Psalm 27 where he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. This is the only thing that I want to see. This is the only thing that I want to set my gaze upon, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Here it is, to gaze on, to behold, to look upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Friends, that's a picture of beholding. And for these next four Sundays, church family, we want to help you become great beholders. We want to help you behold, but specifically, we want to help you behold Jesus. You know, it's interesting, in the birth narrative of Christ, we come across several titles and names that is used to reference Jesus. And what we want to do for this Advent series, for these next several weeks, is spend some time beholding those names. And so we're going to spend a few moments today beholding Emmanuel. What does it mean to behold Emmanuel? Then next week, we're going to spend some time beholding Messiah, the Christ. And then the following week, we're going to behold the Savior. And then finally, we're going to behold the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. And our pastoral team is going to take some time to lead you through these different references and names. And as we peer into this Advent prism that is Jesus himself, as we behold these different aspects of who Jesus is, our hope, church, is that you would begin to see your life becoming like the one you are beholding. For we become what we behold. Amen. Now, that was just the introduction, folks, all right? So don't start packing up your things just yet, because I got a sermon to preach here. Now, if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 1, if you would, with me. Matthew chapter 1. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this today, especially in light of a longer introduction to the series, but we also have to go to the communion table here in just a few moments, so we'll try to move through this swiftly. But I'd love for us to look at this theme in today's passage. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 1. And pick me up at verse 18. We're going to pick up the story from there, and we'll wrap it up on verse 25. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, hear the word of the Lord. This is what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he